Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Russell Westbrook is headed home. The Lakers pulling off the trade of all trades on draft night. Are the Lakers now title favorites? The Packers GM, no regrets over how Aaron Rodgers has been handled, but has he actually caused even more drama in Green Bay? And looky, looky, Tim Tebow is up and moving on the practice field in Jacksonville. Will he be a bigger fan favorite than even Trevor Lawrence? Good Friday morning, everyone. Welcome to First Things First. He is. Look at him. He's played every position. You might as well be linebacker. First Things First, Jenna Wolf, Chris Broussard in for Nick Wright. One more day. We got Brandon Marshall, Kevin Wilds. Football season. He's back. You got Trevor. You got Tim Tebow. Camp is open. Everything's great, Brandon. It's Friday. This always puts you in a good mood.
It's Friday, and it's over. Let's have a good show, guys. Let's go.
Let us have a fantastic show, and why not start with a big, big story in the NBA? Because of all the fireworks that went off surrounding the NBA draft, one was the biggest by far. The Lakers, with the blockbuster move of the night, reportedly acquiring Russell Westbrook from the Wizards. In return, Washington gets Kyle Kuzma, Montrezl Harrell, and the 22nd overall pick. Russ and Oscar Robinson, by the way, the only two players to average a 20-point triple-double in a season, if you're wondering what Russ brings to the table out there for the Lakers. Russ has done it four times, by the way. LeBron took to Instagram immediately posting this pic of the new big three, the Brow, Brody, and the King. There it is. Broussard, what do you think? You like the Lakers trading for Russ?
Let me start by saying this. The Staples Center will be rocking on opening night.
Yeah. Rocking.
The talent at the top of the Lakers roster is incredible. And Russell Westbrook will take a physical toll off of LeBron and AD. Right? So they won't have to carry as much of the physical burden. And LeBron James, one of the smartest players we've ever seen, and maybe he can figure this out. So you got to give them a puncher's chance. All that said, though, no, I don't like this trade for Russell Westbrook. This is a chemistry experiment that makes the Brooklyn Nets look like a match made in heaven. It looks like they're the perfect Lego kit in Brooklyn compared to what they're going to have to do in L.A. Let me count the ways. Number one, Russ likes to play fast. LeBron likes to play slow and deliberate. And that even is in the half court for Russ wanting to play fast. Number two, both LeBron and Russ are ball dominant. And LeBron really only likes to hand over those playmaking duties or ball handling duties to someone he's confident in to make smart decisions. And Russ has never been accused of the guy that makes the best decisions with the basketball. Number three, their big three can't really shoot. Anthony Davis is 31% for his career, 30% for his career from three, shot 26% from three last year. Russell Westbrook is 30% from three for his career, 31% last year. LeBron is a 34%. Right. He's the Steph Curry of the group, and he's a 34% three-point shooter. So, look, if you look at LeBron's teams with big threes, the third person has always had to step back and become a glorified role player. It was Chris Bosh in Miami. Yep. It was Kevin Love in Cleveland. The first two can eat, LeBron and Kyrie, LeBron and D-Wade. The third one steps back. Who's stepping back? It can't be Anthony Davis because they need him to play like an MVP candidate for them to have a chance to win the championship. It can't be Russell Westbrook. It cannot be Russell Westbrook. Because if Russ isn't Russ, what's the point of having him? You can't make Russ just, hey, play, calm down, play slow, relax. Don't. He needs to be Russ. What, it's like Allen Iverson in Detroit or Memphis. If you're not going to let it be Allen Iverson, what's the point of having him? And LeBron is the one that sounds crazy, but he's the one that's built to step back. So here's the way I think the Lakers need to play. LeBron is the point guard, period. He's the full-time point guard. He needs to look at himself as the third scoring option. He obviously won't be the third best player, but the third scoring option. His role should be to make sure that AD and Russ eat. Feed them, get everybody going. LeBron will get his 20-plus points just by being out there. That's how good he is. So that he should look at, I'm the Magic Johnson of this team. That's the best chance, the best scenario I see for them to win. Obviously, they have to put shooting in those other two positions, and they got to go out and try to add those. So I don't like it, but I'll give them a puncher's chance, and I think they got to play LeBron at the point guard.
Well, you're talking about an experiment, and we try to compare this to the Nets last year, but I don't like what you just said as far as LeBron James being a point guard, because now we're going back to Houston when you got Russell Westbrook and James Harden together. James Harden, he needed the ball. Russell Westbrook needed the ball. So now we transition out of Houston. Now we get to Washington. And what do we see? What do we see in D.C.? We see Russell Westbrook go back to his old style, and he averaged a triple-double. This dude only knows one way. Now, we all love it. Some people, we love his approach. Now, not everybody loves his game. Everybody knows this dude's going to give max effort every single night. Right. But to get a triple-double, to get the best out of him, he needs to have the ball in his hands. So how are you now, Chris, going to say, all right, LeBron James, you be the point guard? What seems to me, yes, LeBron James is the guy that's going to make the concessions. LeBron James is the one that's going to sacrifice, similar to what James Harden did. But he needs to now go to the two. Now, we saw LeBron James last year rely on his shot. But Westbrook got to be the point. Westbrook got to be the one that brings the ball up. Because, Chris, it's not AD Wilds, okay? AD, this is a dude that should be in his prime right now. I don't know what happened last year. But AD got to be a guy that you can lean on that could be that leader when you talk about on the offensive end. And even on the defensive side, the output over there. Westbrook, he only knows one way. But I want to transition really quickly to this side of the conversation, Wilds. All of this for three guys that only play eight games, that flamed out of the playoffs, that have a bum ankle, a leaky hammy, and Twitter fingers, the Nets. Like, you guys are doing all this to go stop the Nets. This is a team that everybody wanted to talk bad on. This is a team that imploded in the playoffs. Like, why are y'all doing all this for the Nets? That's my question, Wilds.
Yeah, I know, Brandon. And the Nets had a great season. We had a great time, you and me, holding hands in Brooklyn as the parade went down Broadway. It was just awesome. That was great memories we had. So you're right. It's just all about the Nets, buddy. That was great times. We'll probably run it back next year. All right, Rassard, I want to dig in on what you said, because I've got three main questions for the Lakers. They involve sharing, shooting, and spacing. First up is sharing, and you touched on it. When we look at backcourt touches, Russ brought the ball up the most of anybody in the entire league. I think LeBron was about 15th, if we can show the full screen here. So look, Russ is number one, LeBron's 13th. So someone's got to decide, you got to decide who's got the ball. I think LeBron is more flexible than Russ, and Russ should continue to bring the ball up. But that in itself is weird that LeBron is such a great playmaker, all of a sudden he's ceding duties to Russ. The second one is shooting. The Lakers were the 10th worst three-point shooting team, and they got even worse. And the weird thing here is they were going after Buddy Hield. Right. Buddy is a 40% shooter, and once that didn't work out, it's like, all right, well, we can't get Buddy. Who should we get? Let's get Russ. I like Russ. I like his energy and his creation, but it just seems like, all right, let's totally change our game plan. And the third one is spacing. And shout out to Tom Haverstraw for sort of surfacing this clip, I think, 2 years ago. This is when the Lakers played the Rockets. They're leaving Russ wide open. They're like, all right, Russ can't shoot. Let's just double Harden,
make him give the ball up and let Russ shoot up bricks. That's literally their plan. So they know how to defend teams that have Russ out there. Now they are that team. So now that Harden is going to be LeBron. The Lakers are going to have their own defensive plan against Russ used against him. So when LeBron's got the ball, they're going to collapse on LeBron or they're going to collapse on AD and let Russ shoot you out. Now, maybe Russ just drives to the basket where he's pretty effective, but he hasn't even been able to do that a ton of times in Washington. So look, I like LeBron. I like his decision making. I like Russ. And I like sort of like the idea of them together. But how it actually works, Broussard, I think there's more questions than answers here.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I haven't talked to a basketball person yet since this happened that thinks, oh, this is going to be great. They give it a puncher's chance because it's so much talent. But look, Brandon, let's talk about Russ or LeBron on the ball. Now, Russ, to me, Russ will be on the ball when LeBron is out.
Right.
And that'll be a big benefit. LeBron may not have to play as many minutes. We know the Lakers fall off when LeBron's on the bench. So that can be Russ's time. And then in transition, Russ can push it. So he will have ample opportunities to have the ball in his hands. But he can't. If you got LeBron James on the floor, why in the world would you make Russell Westbrook your primary decision maker? And now, Russ is going to, when LeBron's on the ball, Russ is going to have to drive. You showed that clip, Wilds. We need Russ. Don't settle for that three. We need you to, at the very least, push it in and take like a 15, 16-footer. He's a decent mid-range shooter, certainly better than three, or go all the way to the hoop or set up another drive and kick opportunity. Let me say this, because a lot of people have said, well, look at Miami. D-Wade couldn't shoot. LeBron wasn't a great shooter. They made it work. Let me say a few things about that. Number one, LeBron was better then, right? LeBron was in his absolute athletic prime at that time, and LeBron and D-Wade wreaked havoc on opponents defensively. LeBron and Russell Westbrook aren't going to do this with LeBron in his 19th season. So that's number one. Number two, the NBA wasn't, even though the three-point shot was important, it wasn't what it is today.
Right. It was different.
It was a different league.
That's true.
Right? And so the three-point shooting wasn't as big. But even so, what did Miami do around their big three? They surrounded them with sharpshooters. Ray Allen, Shane Battier, Mike Miller, Mario Chalmers. There's no way the Lakers are going to be able to go out and get that type of shooting around these three guys with the money they have left. So they're going to go get Ben McLemore, maybe, you know, guys that are marginal, fringe, you know, guys who can shoot. But this is an experiment that is incredibly volatile.
Yeah, and that's why I can't wait to have the discussion later in the show about who's going to be the favorites in the West, because it's going to be interesting. Everybody's going to be running to the table talking about Lakers, Lakers, Lakers. Here's the deal, Jenna. I'll be quick here. But it just feels a lot like the Houston Rockets experiment with James Harden and Russell Westbrook. That's what it feels like to me. Two ball-dominant guys like Chris talked about, and they tried the same thing that Chris talked about. Like, okay, well, when LeBron's on the court, you're going to do this. All right, when LeBron's on the bench, then you do this. It didn't work. It lasted 1 year. And then all of a sudden, he gets out to D.C., and now he averaged a triple-double again, and we're celebrating this guy.
Listen, we spent all season talking about chemistry issues with the Nets. Now we can have that same discussion and see what happens here with the Lakers. Much more on this still to come. This blockbuster deal. Does Russ make the Lakers a lock to win the West? I know, Broussard, now you're poo-pooing those chemistry. Those were chemistry problems we had. But first, Jax fans fired up for Tim Tebow's arrival. Check this out. Big story out of the draft last night. The Lakers reportedly trading for Russell Westbrook in a move that vaults them to the top of the heap. Now, Fox Bet Sportsbook has the Lakers as pretty heavy favorites to win the West next season, followed by the Warriors and the reigning champion Suns.
Huh.
So, Brandon, The favorite in the West should be blank.
Jenna, anybody who picks a team right now, they're foolish. It's wide open. You can't go out there and say the Lakers or this team. You don't know. Now, the Suns will be better. I truly believe the Suns will be better. They'll be stronger. Ayton, this dude, the experience he got this run in the postseason. You also got Booker. He's going to be better. He elevated his game. Now, look, I think this can possibly work. Somebody's going to have to, you know, sacrifice like the way James Harden was trying to sacrifice with the Nets. I don't know who that is. But you have AD, Anthony Davis, who's in his prime. Are you going to ask Anthony Davis now, okay, give the ball up? You're going to go from a guy that can be league MVP to now you're just a guy? Or are you going to say, Russell Westbrook, we're bringing you here. We're going to put you in the same situation that they put you in Houston. No, it's not happening. LeBron James, he's the king. We know about his decision making. We know how awesome he is getting everybody involved. So now are you going to say, is LeBron James going to sit back and say, okay, this is the year where I sit back? And now more of that leader. We talked about this when they were leaving the bubble as the reigning champs. We talked about that. I just think it's wide open. There's too many variables in this situation out in the West. There's a couple names you need to throw out there. Klay Thompson, Dame Lillard. Where's Dame Lillard going to go? Who's going to come play with Dame Lillard if he chooses to stay? So it's wide open right now. We need more time.
Brandon, you just spent 5 minutes talking and not answering the question. All right? I'm not going to bail like some people on this show. I say this with no confidence whatsoever. All right? None. No chest, okay, no bass, a lot of treble. The Phoenix Suns. Okay. All right? The Phoenix Suns. I mean, ooh, Brandon is right. This thing is wide open. I'm going to go with Phoenix because they're going to be better from assuming they bring back Chris Paul. They're going to be better from what they learned in the championship, in the finals. We know they're well coached. Devin will be better. DeAndre Ayton will be better. Their role players will be better. You know, hopefully Chris Paul can stay healthy. He's on the vegan diet, so I think that should help him. But the West, see, there's no world beater out there. I actually like Dallas.
Really?
I think Dallas is going
to
make some moves. Like, I think Luka's really going
to
make Dallas a contender. I like Golden State. Utah, Denver, Portland, they don't scare anybody. You know, they're okay. If Kawhi Leonard was healthy, I'd go with the Clippers. And I say it with confidence.
Me too.
But we don't know. I doubt he'll play next year. Even if he comes back in March or April, regains his form quickly, I'd go with the Clippers. But I'm going to say the Suns with a whole lot of trouble.
Okay. Ooh. We've so far named almost every team, so we've got a hit on one of them. And we're at the roulette table. We've just got chips on every number. What you also saw here was Christmas
card. I at least gave an answer.
Brandon's lunch money. Brandon was the Suns guy all year. Broussard chased him off the corner. He's like, I'm going Suns. And Brandon's stuck like, I don't know. So, geez, I will go with the Warriors. I'll go with the Warriors, and here's why.
Oh, I like it.
Steph obviously will be great.
I don't hate it.
Draymond's playing in the Olympics. He's going to come back in shape. I don't think he's going to wear down. I think he's going to get better. We know Klay is going to come back after rest, and he's been kayaking so much out on the bay. He's going to be in shape and ready to knock down shots. Now, the question is, who is the fourth person on that squad? Is it going to be Bradley Beal? He said he doesn't want to leave the Wizards. Is it going to be Dame? I'm not sure. Is it going to be Ben Simmons? They just turned down this big Ben Simmons deal, but at least we know they're talking. So I think the Warriors are so aggressive. There's enough smoke there that eventually they'll make a move, and it'll not only be the big – while everyone else has the big three, Lakers and Nets.
Agreed.
Warriors are going to roll out there with a big four, so I'm going to go with the Warriors, Jenna.
A big four.
And
wow.
Now we have officially hit every team. Again, wow. Lakers, though, right now, the betting favorite after reportedly landing like Russell Westbrook, the playmaker of playmakers. Speaking of playmakers, let's talk some Packers, Aaron Rodgers. Could Green Bay's GM's latest comments spark more drama with Aaron? We'll head to Green Bay next, first things first. Take a turn, head up to Green Bay now. So Wednesday, a little timeline, Aaron Rodgers took to the podium unfiltered, unapologetic, unedited for the last few months of the drama with the Packers. He laid it all out. Well, yesterday, it was GM Brian Gutekunst's turn to answer questions, explaining his version of why the Packers went and got Randall Cobb. Take a listen.
Is he really just here to make Aaron happy? Is that primarily the...
I think that's a big part of it. I think it's a big, you know, obviously without Aaron, I don't think we would probably be pursuing that. Randall's still a really good player. And seeing him last night just kind of reminded me of, you know, what an impact he'll have in our locker room for our football team. But, you know, this was a very important thing for Aaron, and that's why we did it.
Ryan, was it difficult over the course of the offseason for you to relinquish some of this personnel decision-making control?
There's no relinquishing any personnel decisions or control. It's literally just finding a way to incorporate, you know, maybe Aaron's thoughts and making him and really explain to him why we're doing what we're doing. I think that's a big part of the things that he's got some grievance on. He just maybe just doesn't understand exactly why we did what we did, and we probably didn't communicate that well enough to him.
I guess the reason I asked that is because you said that Randall's here to make him happy. He's a player that he wouldn't be here if not for Aaron. So when I say relinquish control, I mean it like that. Does that make your job any harder to do?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I mean, there's lots of things that make my job harder, right? And so certainly, but at the same time, this is kind of a unique player and a unique circumstance in what we're trying to accomplish.
Packers GM Brian Gutekunst, I am not relinquishing any power whatsoever. Make sure that is known. Brandon, what was your reaction to what you just heard?
Oh, how uncomfortable he was. Why is everybody so uncomfortable when the player start getting a little bit more power? That's what we are seeing here. There is a shift in power. That's what we're seeing. Going back to last year, man, I'm not going to go into all the bad stuff because I truly believe this is a good thing. And I think it was Wilds or maybe it was Joy yesterday to say, look, it's the 1% of the 1%. There's a couple guys out there that should have a seat at the table that say, look, Jake Kumaru is my guy. I like Jake Kumaru. We can get it done together. I don't care what you think, but that is my guy. I'm the one out here that got to get the job done. Y'all can do everything y'all want in the boardroom. Y'all can do anything y'all want in the draft. But when we get on this field, you got to be able to listen to me because I see things differently than you guys see. I'm right here. So when you take Jake Kumaru, you throw, say, oh, bye, and you don't talk to him, that's a problem. And the same thing with Jordy Nelson, the same thing with James Jones, the same thing with Randall Cobb. Now Randall Cobb's back. So you see that he was uncomfortable talking about, I don't think Aaron Rodgers understood, you know, why we made some of those moves we made, and we got to do a better job explaining. That's basically what he said. No, buddy, what Aaron Rodgers is saying is the moves you made was terrible. The moves you made no sense. So now, if you don't listen to me, I'm going to be out of there, right? That's what he's saying. Mm. So now it's on Aaron Rodgers and Randall Cobb to go out there, get the job done so it doesn't blow up in their face and people look like, well, all right, Aaron, you asked for this, but you guys aren't getting the job done. Randall Cobb isn't helping you out. Randall Cobb isn't making your team better. So I think it's now the pressure's on Aaron Rodgers. And if he delivers, he's not only going to put himself in a better position, but he's going to put other quarterbacks like Russell Wilson, other quarterbacks like Josh Allen in better position because of the success he's going to have. We saw this with Tom Brady, sure. Wilds. So what they got to do is on third down, the tight red, you know, situational football is when he has to thrive. Randall Cobb is not going to come in and have 1,000 yards. Randall Cobb is, well, maybe he could potentially. 2014, he had 1,200 with Aaron Rodgers, but don't expect that.
Well, hang on.
Don't expect Randall Cobb to come in and light it up. What you need to see is in the toughest moments, the tightest windows, will Randall Cobb come in and deliver? That's what we need to see.
All right, so my takeaway was different, Brandon. My takeaway was that we applauded Aaron Rodgers for transparency. But oddly, I am not going to applaud Brian Gutekunst for transparency because he was very transparent about two things. One, he did not relinquish any control. He still controls the situation.
No relinquish.
And two, he doesn't really want Randall Cobb on the team. If it was up to him, Randall Cobb would not be on the squad. So yeah, transparency, great for the players. But if you're in the management, you know what you should do? Manage, buddy. It's called management. It's a noun and a verb. You got to manage. And manage the message. So here's what you can do.
Right.
Hey, are you relinquishing control? I don't even view it like that.
I don't view it like that, to be honest. Great question. I don't view it about who has control. I'm laser focused on winning. And you know who else is? Aaron Rodgers. And you know who else is? Randall Cobb. So the fact that we're all laser focused on winning, that's the only thing I'm concerned about. Instead, you're like, I didn't relinquish any control. Yeah, Randall Cobb's here. It's, it was important to Aaron. Was it important to you? Like, well, I would, if it was important to me and I have all the control, I would have brought him in already. I'm not asking for a Juilliard-esque Meryl Streep performance, Broussard.
Correct.
I am asking to manage a message to the media and to your own players and other management that you're working with. And overall, I am not awarding him the Academy Award or for management or acting.
I'm with that, Wilds. Look, I'm going to say Brian Gutekunst one time. Henceforth, he is known as Goody. All right, I'm calling him Goody. All right, what Goody really wanted to say
Hey,
Randall Cobb isn't hard.
Goody.
But you waiting on Aaron Rodgers' hand and foot for the rest of the season. That's what's going to make my job hard. That's what he really wanted to say. Right. But look, all jokes aside, I think you're right, Wiles. He was being honest and transparent. And I get where he's coming from. No. Aaron Rodgers is not running the show. All right, he's not making all the personnel decisions. I don't think that's what Rodgers wants. I think what Rodgers, the that's situation right. is Rodgers now, his opinion is being valued. They're coming to him to hear, what do you think about this player? You know, what do you think about this receiver? We are listening to your opinion. You now have input. It should have been that way from day one. Or at least recently, once he became an all-pro quarterback. It should have been that way for years with Aaron Rodgers. Now it is, and this is a good thing. What really makes Gutekunst's job hard is that it's all out in the media that he is the primary reason that Aaron Rodgers doesn't like the Green Bay Packers organization. That's what makes his job hard, is that all of that pressure is now on him. So other than that, though, I think he was being honest and transparent. You're right, Wilds. It doesn't play that well in the media. But, yeah, now there's a little bit of give and take with Aaron Rodgers. And I think this is healthy. It should always been this way.
Rightfully so. And, guys, look, that's my job, is to go back and pull on my experience, in playing in the league, right? I go back to Chicago. And we had Jay Cutler. But before I even got to Chicago, I'm sitting down here in Miami, Florida, playing for the Dolphins. We weren't doing well. We were terrible. And then I was looking at the Chicago Bears play Sunday Night Football, and they weren't doing well, and they were terrible. And then I called Jay Cutler after the game because he just got sacked like 7-8 times. I'm talking about bruises all over the place. I'm like, buddy, I miss you from our Denver Bronco days, man. I'm just calling just to say I miss you. I love you. And also, man, just hanging out. That was a tough game. There was nothing you can do. You had no time. And then also, the Mike Martz system, they having you drop back 7 steps with that type of offense line. It's just not going to work. Just hang in there, man. Just hang in there. We all see it. The world see it. What happened after that year? Jay Cutler went to management, said, I need an X receiver. Oh, they said, okay, Jay, what X receiver do you want in the draft, or who's out there in free agency? And he said, no, I don't need any of those X receivers. I need my guy, Brandon Marshall. So what did he do? That Phil Emery and company came and got me. Then they went and got Martellus Bennett. Then they went and got Alshon Jeffrey. They listened to Jay Cutler, and they wanted him to have a seat at the table when it came to the draft. They brought in Alshon Jeffrey. And then they paid Matt Forte. And what happened? We became the number one Chicago Bears offense in the history of the organization. Why? Because they listened to their quarterback. Now, obviously, we're not Aaron Rodgers, not Tom Brady. We didn't win a championship, do anything like that. But when you have a franchise quarterback and you have a face of the franchise, a guy that you're paying millions of dollars, you better listen. And so that's just one example, but it happens throughout the entire league with some of our league's best, especially at the quarterback position.
So I have a question for you, Brandon. I don't want to get too deep into your wallet here. But when you knew that Jay Cutler had specifically recruited you from Miami to Chicago, do you feel, or in that your agent, I don't know who it was at the time, did you feel like you had extra leverage there that you could sort of put your thumb on the scale to get more than market value because they really wanted you? And the reason I ask is, is that the reason why Gutenkus is pushing back on some quarterback involvement? Because it messes up the market once you know that your star player is sort of leveraging, or the leverage situation changes. Does that make sense?
No, it's simple, Wilds. You ball out, you have power. Point blanks, period. Okay. That's it. Now, when your play slip, they ask you to get out or they ask you to take a pay cut. So for me, yes, I felt like I had a lot of leverage and I was able to not only, you know, get a better contract when I got there because they end up extending me, but they also listened to me on other things. They also listened to me when it came to practice. They also listened to me when it came to different things we may need it in the weight room. Why? Because I was coming off a 1,500-yard year. I was an all-pro, 14 touchdowns. And so they're like, okay, this works. So we want you to sit here and talk to us about some of the things that you see. So it's not about, you know, money and those things. It's all about, are you a baller? Can you get the job done?
Got you.
If you're not balling, Chris, they don't care. They don't want, they're not going to listen to you. You got a ball.
No, right. And look, again, this is a healthy situation. And if they do this all year, listen to Aaron Rodgers, doesn't mean you got to do everything he wants. All right, you shouldn't do everything he wants. And Aaron Rodgers shouldn't want ultimate say because, Brandon, I think you know this, that could cause problems in the locker room. If guys think you 100%. Have the ultimate say and you got the final say, now if it doesn't work out for me with the front office, I'm looking at you. I'm looking at my quarterback. Why didn't you go to bat for right. me? So it has to stay at a healthy level where they listen to him. And, you know, he gives his input, but that doesn't mean they're going to do everything he wants. And the other thing is, Gutenkunz, this may not be his nature. Apparently it isn't, right? He wanted to come in there with the iron fist of last year, and he runs the team, and it's my show, and you just play football. So he's going to have to get over that, because if this works out this year, maybe you have a chance of keeping Aaron Rodgers for the long term.
Right. Right.
I think you make a pretty good point because I walked away from that Gutenkunz press conference and I said, this is not a healthy situation. The general manager is obviously disgruntled. He feels like whether he says it or not, he relinquished some power. He's got to live with this all season. Does this work in their favor? Are they both motivated to come together or is this a rift that can no longer come? But I hear what you're saying, Broussard. Maybe it can be healthy. Maybe it turns into some W's for this team. All right. We're going to have much more on the Packers coming up in a little bit. We got to get back to some basketball. Russell Westbrook. Oh, headed out west. A new team yet again. He's going to the Lakers. Man. Would his first title still be praised if he wins it with Late LeBron? Show. We'll toss that around next. First things first.
You don't like Goody, Brandon?
Back here, first things first, we're now joined by former NFL head coach Eric Mangini. Coach, good morning. Thanks for hanging out today. Let's head up to Buffalo, talk some Josh Allen. Josh broke out in year three. I don't think anyone had him pegged to finish second in MVP voting. Maybe Brandon did. I don't know. We should go back and ask him later. Big no, Josh Allen.
Definitely
guy.
Not so, Nick Wright.
Fast forward to camp yesterday. Veteran receiver Emmanuel Sanders is one of the new guys up in Buffalo. Talked about one specific moment he had while watching Allen throw. Listen to what he had to say.
Josh made a throw today that I haven't seen, like, a post ball to Cole Beasley. It was crazy, like, mouth dropping. I've been in the league 12 years, so. You know, I'm excited, you know, about what, you know, they've created out here. You know, I think that we got an opportunity, obviously.
All right, here's the throw. We think, well, Bills tweeted this throw along with those comments from Sanders. And it's pretty good, I guess. I'm not 100% sure this is the catch Sanders is referring to. Also not 100% sure
it isn't.
So there's that. Well, that's what we found.
Fair point.
Brandon, what do you think of what Emmanuel Sanders had to say?
Well, here's the deal. Well, first, where is Nick Wright at when we're having this discussion about Josh Allen? He doesn't want to be around when we're talking about Josh Allen. But anytime we talk about Baker Mayfield, Nick Wright wants to lead the conversation. He wants to be the guy. So, Nick Wright, hurry up and get back so we can talk about Josh Allen. I absolutely love this. Josh Allen has one of the most talented arms that in the NFL today, okay? Josh Allen can make all the throws on the field. up there with Mahomes, up there with Aaron Rodgers, and especially when you're talking about the deep ball and efficiency, what Emmanuel Sanders was talking about. He said a post to Beasley. When you talk about deep ball, you got to throw Russell Wilson in there as well, okay? But here's the challenge with this is consistency, right? Aaron Rodgers consistently make those throws and put it on a dime. You got Patrick Mahomes that consistently do that. Now, we saw the jump from year one to year three from a completion percentage with Josh Allen. The dude has it all. The dude is lights out. So I understand what Emmanuel Sanders is talking about, but you just don't want a guy to flash here and there. You want a guy to be able to do that week after week after week. And Patrick Mahomes, that is the case study. Aaron Rodgers, that is the case study. Russell Wilson, that is the case study, coach. So when you talk about a ceiling, the ceiling to me, coach, is up there with the greats. Like I got this stat from our guys, Dusty, right? One of our super producers. Dusty sent me this. 4,500 yards through the air, 45 touchdowns, and less than 10 interceptions. There's only four guys that in the history of the league that was ever able to do this. Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning twice, and your boy Josh Allen. Nick Wright, Baker Mayfield ain't up there. Baker, I love you, Baker. I know you're going to have a beast of a year. But look, this dude, this is the ceiling. This is what it is. Now, the challenge with him, coach, is he has to go through KC. Patrick Mahomes, he's not playing with the AFC. And that offense, that team, and that coaching staff, they're legit. So that's going to be the challenge over the next couple years is can they get over the hump, and that hump being Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, the first thing I want to say is that I love the range of this show and the fact that Jenna can somehow bring in Neil Diamond and Barbara Streisand after we're talking about two rap greats.
Coach, you're only one who gets me. Nobody even responded. Nobody even double blinked to that. I wasn't sure if my senator thought it. Thank you, Coach.
What demographic you're in. There's something for everybody here. And look, Brandon, you're exactly right. It's about consistency. And when I saw him, when I watched him coming out of college, that was a concern. It was consistency with his throws because he often made wide receivers work, and it was consistency with his reads because he was late on some throws. And I didn't know how much that would progress. And I give Brian Daboll, the offensive coordinator, tremendous yep. credit for his development. And Brian develops quarterbacks holistically. He's got a great understanding of not just the offense, but Brian worked on the defense for a long time as well. So he teaches quarterbacks the ins and outs of defense from a defensive perspective, which is different. And I think that really helps offensive players grow. And you look at his numbers, and we talked about completion percentage, but he's also doubled his touchdown percentage. He's cut his interception percentage in half. He's improved his quarterback rating by 40%. So all that being said, it still comes back to Brandon's point about consistency, because Nick Foles in his second year threw 27 touchdowns and two interceptions. He had 119 quarterback rating. His yards per completion were like 17. It was an unbelievable season, but you didn't get that consistency. So now we got to see whether or not this growth stays on the same trajectory. And even if it doesn't, can he stay at the level he's currently at? And the point about the deep ball yesterday, Stephon Diggs just came out and said he thinks the deep ball wasn't very good in Buffalo, and that's something they need to work on. So as you become more successful and as guys start pressuring for different types of throws, the question is, can you handle that pressure as well to make everybody happy while still being the guy that you were the previous season?
Well, I don't want this to be lost. I don't think it's been mentioned yet. What Emmanuel Sanders said, that he hasn't seen this in 12 years in the league, he's played with Ben Roethlisberger, Drew Brees, Peyton Manning. Okay, I mean, that is high praise. And his ceiling, right. Super Bowl winning quarterback who's a Hall of Famer. I mean, that's what we're talking about. If Pat Mahomes wasn't in this league, who knows what we'd be saying about Josh Allen and his potential. And Brandon, you're right. Obviously, they have to keep going through Kansas City. Obviously, Lamar Jackson. A lot of great teams out there in the AFC. But Mahomes and the Chiefs aren't going to win it every year. All right, they're not going to get there every year. So Buffalo can win some Super Bowls. I like the fact that the organization has been strong recently. They've been putting, you know, he's got a nice receiving core with Cole Beasley, and they added Sanders. Obviously, Stephon Diggs helped take him to another level, but I'm not going to give Diggs all the credit. The fact that Allen made such a jump last year, that speaks to his work ethic. That's I got to believe. For him to jump the way he did, he has to have a really good work ethic and be a listener and a learner. And that's where I think the talk about his consistency comes in, right? That's the next step for him. But I think with his work ethic and all the talent he has, I think he can get there and be more consistent.
Yeah, so trajectory is what caught my eye, Brandon. So he went from 20 to 37 touchdowns. He went from 58% completion percentage to 69% completion percentage. So you see him getting up and expect him to be better. On the other hand, their season starts pretty rough. You go, you have Pittsburgh, Miami, and Washington. Pittsburgh, third best defense. Miami, if they figure out what's going on with Xavier Howard, but I expect Brian Flores to make that defense a little bit better. We know how good Washington's defense is, second best. But to Chris's point, the Emmanuel Sanders thing, I think that we have to stop down and sort of give that a lot of credit. That just wasn't an offhanded comment. I think what he is telling the world, the sports media, the other guys saying like, yo, this dude is better than I thought. This dude is way better than I expected, and you should expect great things.
Right.
What was your take on specifically what Emmanuel Sanders said? Because it feels like he could be like, yeah, I'm happy to be here. But the fact that he went out of his ways to say, like, yeah, I hadn't seen a pass like that in 12 years, it was jaw-dropping, really made me think that Josh Allen's better than I thought.
Yeah, well, first off, there's an excitement when you're the new guy in the building, especially at the wide receiver position. There's like this little pressure on the receiver and the quarterback, the offensive coordinator, to kind of figure out how to get you involved, right? Coach said this last year, and I've been riding with it ever since, and I love it. Chemistry and continuity is everything, right? So you're trying, sometimes you just get a little excited and you can, you know, you can say a little too much, because the reality is, yes, he played with those quarterbacks, right? And you know, Big Ben, Drew Brees, also Peyton Manning. But when you look at it, what makes Big Ben great is not him just standing in the pocket and throwing on time. It's him getting outside the pocket. Those off-schedule plays, you know, oh, I got to break off my route now. So it's not just a crisp post where you put your foot in the ground at seven, go to the near post and catch that right on the hash. That's not what you're going to get from Big Ben. You got an old Peyton Manning who could only throw it 40 yards, and you got an old Drew Brees who can only throw it, you know, 40, 50 yards consistently a couple times a game. So that's what he got. Like, he is just rejuvenated with that. But here's what I would say also when it comes to Josh Allen. Like, Josh Allen, and you got to highlight this when you, because Chris talked about, you know, work ethic, and he talked about this jump, and you talked about the jump, but Coach really hit it on the head. And this is the guy I'm gonna put Coach on the spot here. Coach, it was the one that kind of discovered Brian Daboll. Brian Daboll was my offensive coordinator with the Miami Dolphins. He's a young pup. I think it was his first gig at the OC job. And this dude was sensational, how he met everybody. You're talking about me in my prime when I was a hot-headed young pup out there, and how he was able to coach me every single day and say, Brandon, no, this is how we're going to do things. Brandon, I hear you. Okay, Brandon, what do you want? Give me 10 plays, Brandon. All right, you say you need the ball more. Draw up 10 plays. Have it to me before Tuesday, before noon, and I'm going to look at it. And so he is a guy that knows how to coach people. He has that New England mentality where he can be hard, but at the same time, he's relatable. And that's why you're seeing this kid jump the way he has, is because of Brian Daboll, Coach.
Look, I love Brian Daboll, and I've been around some hard workers. He's right up there on top of the list, and he's won with Nick Saban. He's won with Bill Belichick, and even as a young guy, you go through that phase where you're trying to get into coaching. And look, we try to kill guys and test their mettle in that position, and you couldn't stop him. And he's smart, and he's relatable to the players, and he listens really well and tries to make sure that everybody's incorporated. And on the throw and the comment from Emmanuel Sanders, I don't want to be Debbie Downer here, but there's a lot of exciting things that happen in training camp without pads.
Right. Right. Coach, let me put you on the spot. Coach, let me put you on the spot real quick.
Yeah.
Okay. You're right. No, you're right. Real quick, coach. Brian Daboll. They lucky to have him back as the OC. Brian Daboll go get his head coaching job next year. Are you going to go there, accompany him, and be maybe his DC, OC? What's up? What you going to do?
Brandon, here's what I've learned about dealing with questions like that about the future is you never talk about the future. You only focus on today, and I'm really excited to be here.
Oh, give me that New England win. Oh, please.
Couldn't be. I'm focused on today.
You
just
can rock
get
the
better.
Presser anytime. Anytime. We got to get back to our top story.
The
Russ. Hot headed to the Lakers. Summer. Does the trade now make him a lock to win the West? We discuss that next. Coach, you're the best. Welcome back. Time now for stores to start your morning, sponsored by Ram Trucks. Built to serve. It is Friday. The Lakers, with the blockbuster move of the draft night, reportedly acquiring Russell Westbrook from the Wizards. In return, Washington gets Kyle Kuzma, Montrezl Harrell, KCP, and the 22nd overall pick. LeBron James, Mr. Social Media, took to the gram, posting this pic of the new Big Three, the Brow, Brody, and Braun, the King. Meanwhile, an L.A. Times report said those three met at LeBron's house a couple weeks ago to discuss teaming up to win a title, putting their egos aside. Brandon, you mentioned before, might have been on the court from Space Jam where they had that meeting, which we can now confirm if you look closely, was in fact on that court. So we do some hard-hitting reporting here on First Things First, and we got to the bottom of that, so there's that. Brandon, you like the Lakers trading for Russell Westbrook yesterday?
Listen, I like it, but it's not going to work. I like it because... how aggressive LeBron and the Lakers are in this quest for another championship. Like, you got to try. You got to fight. It's hard to win at the pro level. And you got to be doing everything you can, every single practice, every single game, every single offseason to get better. If you're staying the same, you're getting worse. So I like it because they're trying. They're not content. They're not sitting there saying, if when AD come back healthy and then he get out of that rut that he was in, because he is a superstar, he's a top five player. When he gets there and then LeBron comes back and he doesn't tweak his ankle, the dude don't just run into his ankle. Oh, we'll be fine. We'll be right back where we need to be because those two are exactly what we need. They'll get it done. No, they're not saying that. They're saying, okay, we're seeing what the other guys around the league are doing, and let's make sure that we're staying competitive and not maybe not even competitive but even leading this discussion when it comes to this quest for another championship. But I don't like it for this reason. Well, this is why I said it's not going to work. It's not going to work because you got LeBron. LeBron is a point guard. He wants the ball in his hand. He want to be able to do this right here. Okay, you go over there, this and that, me back up. Oh, boom. Oh, he's open. He wants to dictate everything. He moves. He makes everybody move. He gets everybody involved. And it works. Russell Westbrook, without the ball in his hands, it doesn't work. He plays at a different speed. He's ball dominant, which everybody's going to be talking about today. But what we need to look at is when they tried to put Russell Westbrook in a different space with the Houston Rockets, it didn't work, Chris. So who's going to make the sacrifice? How is this going to complement each other? It worked in Brooklyn because those guys were able to do other things offensively and move without the ball. Russell Westbrook needs the ball in his hand. Now, he's a beast. He's going to go down as a GOAT because of what he's doing with around this whole triple-doubles this stuff. But at the end of the day, he needs the ball.
Unlike Brandon Marshall, I don't like anything that doesn't work. All right, you're saying this, you like it, but it's not going to work. What, they playing for division titles now?
I like
what,
that.
They're playing for a championship.
I like the fight.
The pieces
I like the
don't
chase.
Fit. The pieces don't fit. It's as simple as that. Now, I'll give them a puncher's chance because LeBron James is brilliant, and maybe he can figure this out. The talent is great, all that. But the pieces don't fit. You look at LeBron with all his big threes. The third guy's had to back up and really sacrifice. Chris Bosh in Miami, Kevin Love in Cleveland. Who's doing that with this crew? Now, it can be Anthony Davis because they need him to play at an MVP level to have a chance to win the championship.
Right.
It can be Russell Westbrook because if Russell Westbrook is not Russell Westbrook, what's the point? I should have went and got somebody else if he's not right. going to be able to beat Russell Westbrook. The guy that's right. built to do it is LeBron James, which sounds crazy, but here's what I think they got to do. LeBron, you're the point guard. Russ, you will handle the ball when LeBron's on the bench. You'll be able to do it'll be your show with that second unit. Russ, you can push the ball in transition. You can do your thing. But in the half court sets, running our offense, making our decisions, it's LeBron James. And when Russ is off the ball, drive and slash when you get the pass. Don't just shoot a three-pointer. LeBron needs to look at himself as the third scoring option. His job is to be Magic Johnson. Make sure that Anthony Davis and Russell Westbrook eat. And LeBron will get his 20-plus points because he's that good just by being out on the floor. But those two need to be the first options. That's their only chance of winning it all. I don't really like it. I think it's a huge chemistry experiment, but I'll give them a puncher's chance.
Yeah, I'm worried about three things, Broussard. Sharing, shooting, and spacing. First of all, when you talk about sharing, Russ was the guy bringing up the ball up the court all last year. Guess who else likes to bring up the ball up the court? LeBron. Russ was number one. LeBron was 13. So somehow they got to figure it out. If Russ is not bringing the ball up, like you said, that's what he wants to do. That's what he's the best at doing. So they got to figure that out. The second one is shooting. The Lakers weren't a good shooting team last year. They were 10th worst in shooting from three. Russ is the worst high-volume three-point shooter of all time. Pretty bad last year as well. And the last one, to me, Broussard, this is really interesting, and shout out to Tom Haberstroh for bringing up this clip. Spacing. This is how the Lakers played the Rockets when Harden and Russ were on the floor. Well, double Harden, let Russ shoot. So the Lakers know what Russ's Achilles heel is. Now they're going to be victims of their own game plan. So if they can somehow solve the spacing issue, I'll give them more than a puncher's chance that maybe Russ abandons those shots totally and just drives to the hoop. But then again, you got to have good spacing, Broussard, and hope that AD's out there because Russ likes clear lanes, which is why he excelled when Capella was out. So maybe it'll work. I'll give him slightly more than a puncher's chance than you, Broussard.
A lot of people are saying, oh, they're going to be Miami. David Fizdale's on the coaching staff. D-Wade couldn't shoot. But it was a different NBA back there. The three-pointer wasn't as big. And LeBron was in his athletic prime. All right? It was a different team. They had shooters around those two as well. They're not going to have that with the Lakers. Or not as many.
All this, Jenna, to stop three guys that only played together in eight regular season games.
Who themselves had chemistry issues.
A tweaked hand.
Brooklyn might be concerned, though.
Hey, big thank you to Chris Broussard this week. Much appreciated. Have a great weekend. We'll see you back here Monday morning.